believe that song there speaks to us. It speaks to us for everyday life. You know, exalt the Lord above all our circumstances. You know, He is not the one who gives us the spirit of fear. He is not the one that calls us to shake about this coming week. Okay, that's the devil. Okay? And as the word came forth there a minute ago, continue to live within His word. You know, we exalt Him by putting Him first in all that we do. You know, exalt Him in all your circumstances. And it doesn't mean to exalt Him while you're sinning, okay? Exalt Him in your actions and how we live our life. You know, these days, like I said, is very interesting. I'm going to turn the light there. I got my electronic device this morning. I'm going to try different ones here today. But we're going to step into Isaiah 14, chapter 14 here for just a couple seconds. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, let's pray. Lord, I just come to you this morning, Father, as we open up our Bibles and look at your word. Holy Spirit, we just pray that these words become alive to us and speak to our spirit, that we'll be strengthened by these words, that we'll hear with ears like we never had before. And may these words encourage us and strengthen us and prepare us for the days that's coming. That we will live for you, Lord. That will truly be your hands, your feet, your voice. And be your light in this world right now, Father. If we do, we just thank you so much for the privilege of gathering here in your name. Amen. Amen. Chapter 14, verse 12 is where I'll start trying to figure out why some of these things happen the way they do. And why the temptations can be coming greater and greater on you to maybe go back to where you came from at one time, to go back where God rescued you from. And we have to understand and know without a doubt that the Word of God is true. Whether we want to believe it or not, it's true. It truly is. And we see a few things preparing itself, getting ready to fulfill itself. And to understand why it's so tremendous against us today and the pressure you're feeling, we look at Isaiah 14:12, and I'm reading from the New American Standard, and it's talking about Satan. He says, "How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. You have been cut down to the earth, you who have weakened the nations. But you said in your heart, 'I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the recesses of the north.'" Verse 14. "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Nevertheless, you will be thrust down to Sheol, to the recesses of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you. They will ponder over you, saying, 'Is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world like a wilderness and overthrew its cities, who did not allow his prisoners to go free?'" Now that's the description of when Satan, Lucifer, his name was at that time, was cast out of heaven. And we see what took place. He had it all. I mean, he was really up there in the ranks of the angels. He was in charge of, my understanding, praise and worship. He was beautiful. Man. But you know what? Inside his heart, he got envious, he got pride. He wanted not to be like God. He wanted to be God. He wanted to be above God. See, our desire is to be like Jesus, right? We don't want to be Jesus. We ain't going to put ourselves above Jesus. But it's to be like Jesus. But this is Satan. He got in his head somehow. Somehow he got in his head that I'm going to get better than God. You know, and when he's cast out of heaven, he took a third of them with him. So I just wonder if a third of these angels got together. This is in the scriptures there. But what caused them? I mean, Well, the third of them starts saying, hey, you're better than God. You know? Did they get in Satan's head and start pumping his head a little bit? Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know the answer. I can't find that answer. I just know that it shows that pride raised up in Satan, you know. But I know a lot of times, though, people will pump you up. Amen. They're speaking to your life just to see you fail, okay? They're, oh, man, you got it made. Yeah, you can do this. And the minute it tumbles, boop, they take off. But something, hanging around a third of the angels who had the same type of thinking of Satan, look what it did to him. Cast out of heaven, he had it made. Third of them. Oh, man. And so right there it shows you and I, it's very important who we hang out with, okay? People are going to speak into you one way or the other, you know. If Lucifer would have hung out with the other two-thirds, who knows what would have happened, okay? But around the third there, hung out with them and all this negative stuff, and all this stuff against God, put it that way, against God, started dwelling up in his to the spirit, to the point that, hey, I'll raise myself above God. He stepped out. And you got thrown out of heaven. And the tricks today is still the same. Understand that. Because he got removed from God's presence, he wants to do the same thing to you. He wants to remove you from his presence. He wants you to exalt yourself above God. How do you do that? Every time we step into sin and say, hey, I know what God said, but I can do it better than what God tells me, okay? We're putting ourselves above God because he has entrusted us with his holy word, with his son Jesus. Amen? And when we take that privilege that we have, but we step over here and say, yes, but I can do this. I can have Jesus and still do this. We're doing the same thing as Satan. I mean, if you would have thought for a second, I mean, God created Lucifer, right? I mean, he's just a little angel. But he got stuck in his head that he could be greater than the creator of all the universe. If he would just think for a second. But God is not going to hand the throne over to Satan. And Satan ain't going to take it from him. But he got it pumped up in his head that he could do that. And he does the same thing with people today, okay? Being in the presence of God, but getting your head saying, yes, but you can still be in the presence of God and have everything he wants for you, but still continue to live in sin. And we can't do that, okay? Again, I'm going to put a clarification here. There's sin and there's living in sin. Having a simple lifestyle, okay? And that doesn't mean just the sexual part. It could be anything that we embrace that God says leave it alone. Amen? Okay? But see, that's why he comes after you. That's why the pressure's so deep in you right now. That's why you're battling. And praise God, you're battling. You haven't given up, understand? But you got to get out from the one-third of the fallen angels, if we can say it that way, and get around the two-thirds. Stay around those that's going to lift you up and encourage you by the word of God. Those that's going to speak to you. Can you imagine speaking the truth? The one angel said, listen, man. I'm sorry, you're sitting there. It would have been John, but you're sitting there now. Yeah, I know. But just think, though, if one of them would say, listen, you don't want to do what you're doing. Lucifer, no. There's going to be trouble. Yeah. If you're going to do that, I'm out of here. Okay? I'm right over the other two-thirds. See what I'm saying? But somehow, he got fed this idea that he was going to take over the throne of God. And I believe somebody there was pumping him up, you know. We might get a desire to sin. Yes. No. No, follow me here. Right now, we're in heaven. We're showing you what happened to Lucifer and what the angels could have done. Okay, he was an angel. He's a fallen angel. Okay, you're above the angel. You'll never be an angel. You're above the angel. Understand that? Oh no. The Bible says you and I. The Bible says that you and I will judge angels. We are made above the angels. Amen. So, yeah, follow me on here. I'm trying to say that look how different things could have been for Lucifer. Somebody would have spoke to him and said, don't raise yourself up above God, okay? Now, someone would speak to you today and say, listen, don't raise yourself up above God. You know, what happens a lot of time is, oh, I understand, man. I understand. God understands. He understands that Christ died for your sins. Amen. He paid the whole penalty for it. What you don't understand is why you don't accept that and get out of sin because it's going to cost us everything, just like Lucifer. But see, now we know why the pressure's there, because Lucifer comes after us, Satan comes after us, because we're made in the image of God, and he doesn't want you to have what he threw away. And that's being in the presence of God for eternity. He doesn't want that. He'll do everything that he can try to tear you down. But we have to recognize his evil ways. And we have to say, no more. I don't want none of this stuff. Don't entertain anything that's not of God. Because if it's not of God, it's there to hurt you and to harm you. Amen? That's why I was trying to show this, Stella. Yeah, we get to heaven. I mean, when the rapture takes place and we meet the Lord, boom, we're done. There's no more trials. There's no more testing for us. Understand that. We're born again. Well, it's not really going to be work. It's going to be praising the Lord all the time. Okay? To be in his presence, worship him, and awesome things. And then we do know that we'll come back for 1,000 years on earth. The millennium reign, there'll be like a peace on earth. And we'll have territory we'll watch over and stuff, you know. I mean, it's amazing. See, what you're doing now isn't something you throw away when you get to heaven. You worship the Lord and you know his ways and his customs and all that kind of stuff. You have the same thing in heaven. Understand that. You don't die today, go to heaven, boom, and then all this stuff is poured into you. Understand that. It's what you're doing today is making a difference. That's why it's loving the Lord today, wanting his word today, understand his principles and his methods and stuff when we get to heaven. Amen? Isn't that awesome? And there's different positions in heaven. There is. I understand that. And like I said before, I'll be the dishwasher. You know, it has to be. Amen. But amen, you know. But it's just, whatever we do for the Lord, you know. You wasn't called, Charlie, to be Starkey. I wasn't called to be you, okay? God had a calling on our life. And I believe that continues even in the presence of him forever, you know.
We'll be compared to us.
Right.
We're not compared to other people. Mm-hmm. Compared to what our job was, how we did our job.
Right, yeah. It'd be like, if I gave, I'm not going to do it, so I'm going to get your hands out, okay? But if I gave Rita $5, and then I gave Penny over here $100, okay? And then I said, okay, guys, come back next Sunday and show me what you've done. And I come in, and here comes Rita, and she brings us a nice little... What do you want her to bring back for $5? Okay. Pizza. She bring back... Thank you! That's awesome. She bring back the Little Caesar pizza for $5.40 now. So I'll give you $5.40, okay? And then here comes Penny. She walks in here and she brings in a smorgasbord from Bob Evans. Oh, my! I thought, man... I'm going to hang out with Penny. Look what she did. I mean, she must be more blessed than Rita, because look at all the food she brought. But no, you were faithful with what God gave you. The $5, you worked with it, awesome. And you did the same. So the rewards aren't going to be any greater, okay, because you did what you could work with, you know. There's a story in the Bible about that, too, the denarius and stuff. But yeah, it's going to be, Starkey, this is what I give you to work with. How did you use it? And I think there's the parable where the owner was going away and he gave three of the servants money. You know, one got $10, one got $5, one got $1. The 10 doubled and the 5 doubled and then one had $1. He buried it and gave it back to him. I could have done that myself. And so what that means is the Spirit of God deposited in us, the word that's deposited in us, it's not just for us, but it's for other people. And to multiply, I mean, that's what he wants us to do. But yeah, we'll be judging the angels, getting back to your question there. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, I know we say that, well, you know, little ones passed away, they're little angels now, but man, no, they are in the presence of God, they're above the angels. You know that? Wow. And we'll judge them, so, amen. Now, oops, hang on. Matthew 25:41. In Matthew 25:41, and Jesus is speaking about, if you remember how those came before him and said, you know, Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we see you thirsty? Anyway, he says, many of them call me Lord, Lord, but I did not know them. Why? Because they did things for themselves and not the Lord. But the point here in the scripture, what he's getting at, is verse 41 of 25. Then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Okay, again, hell was made for the angels and the fallen, Lucifer and the fallen angels. It was not created for us. Understand that? God never intended for us to be there. Yeah. He thought from the very beginning, okay, listen, paraphrasing Genesis, hey, evil's already here. Don't hang out evil, okay? Just turn your back on it. Man, you mess with evil, you're surely going to die. But hey, follow me. Eat from the tree of life, okay? Now, you think that'd be enough warning, right? If I say, hey, listen, I cooked a cake this morning, and so did Rita, okay? And Bob Clark stand up and say, listen, eat Ritas, don't eat Starkies. The minute you eat Starkies, you're surely going to die, okay? What would you do? Eat Ritas, yes. But mine be laying back here, you know? And it's maybe mine look beautiful. You know, maybe it look prettier than Ritas, okay? But no doubt, oh, okay. But he's already given the warning. Don't eat from it. Don't eat from it. If you just stayed with Ritas, you'd be okay. But eventually, eat from it. Something about my cake enticed you. Yes, yes. See, if we take God's warning today as he gave it 6,000 years ago, it applies to our life the same way, you know. Don't eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Do not follow evil. Do not entertain it. Don't do that. Because hell was designed for the falling angels. And Satan wants to get back at God by getting back at you, by taking you to hell with him. Understand that. And we got to decide, no, we don't want that. We have to look at what happened in the past and realize there's nothing in this world to entertain. There's no sin in this world that I want to entertain. There's nothing outside of God that I want in my life because it's detrimental to myself. But not just myself, to those around me. Okay? You know, let's say Bob Clark goes on vacation, okay? And Rita still got a big cake back here and I got mine, okay? And no one's talking about, Bob's not here to tell us about the difference in the cakes. And next thing you know, someone, let's say the next service starts at noon, and they come in, and they look at my cake, and they look at Rita's cake. And they walk over and take a bite out of my cake. What's going to happen to them? They're going to die, right? Oh, wait, how can they? There's no one back there to tell them. Is that fair? Hey, that's the law. That's his life. Somebody had to be warning them about that, you know? Somebody had to be loving them enough to say, listen, you get in there this morning, that one looks like a John Deere tractor, don't eat that one, okay? It will kill you. Starkey made it, okay? Oh, man, thank you. And go over and eat Rita. It looks like man, you paint so much. A White House? A lighthouse. Okay, thank you. Okay. But see, it's for the next people to pass it on to the next people, to the next people, to the next people, okay? And what is happening in society today is all that stop and be careful, watch out, this is sin. It's being watered down so much that we have people walking in sin all day long and all night long thinking they're walking with the Lord because they've been deceived and lied. Why? Because they're looking at others who's claiming Christianity. We got to flee from that. Understand that God does not want you in hell. No. But it's our choice. It is our choice if we want to follow him and receive his love. And folks, I'm telling you what, we should run so fast away from anything that's not of God. We should look at it, despise it, and want nothing to do with it. And folks, you have to work out your salvation daily. You have to leave yourself from those who are dragging you down, those who are walking in the world, those who are making you compromise. Today is awesome. We exalt thee. But here comes Wednesday. Our worship isn't there out in our head. Who's out there? The world's out there, and they're coming along. Exalt yourself above the Lord. You know, someone say, you know, exalt yourself above God. You say, get out of here, okay? But they tempt you to sin, and they're having you exalt your desires above God's. Amen? So that's one thing. Fellowship is awesome. Stay in the Word, and have nothing to do with the things of this world that's not of God. And we have to put a foot down and say, I'm done, I'm through with it. Boom, that's it. Stay in fellowship with those who think the same way. Not telling you not to share the gospel. Not telling you to love people. Okay? But make sure you're getting fed. You know? If you spend 2 hours a day out in the world around friends and relatives that aren't followers of Jesus, okay? And sometimes you get all this stuff coming to your head, right? Okay? If you have to make sure when you get home, you put some more stuff of God in there. But again, the pressures that we have is because Satan wants to take us to hell with him when he goes, and God doesn't want that. And we got to fight on our hands just to overcome the things that Satan brings against us. But hell was real. Matthew 13:42, just a couple more descriptions here, and I'll get a couple more texts I want to share with you. Matthew 13:42, it says, and he will cast them into the furnace of fire. In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He's showing us that hell is a real place, folks. And none of us wants to go there, amen? We don't want to go there. We have to understand why we're going through what we're going through. Why we have so much pressure right now, because time is short. And folks, you know, we got to hang in there for the Lord. For ourselves, of course. But for Jesus, you know. Someone said earlier, look at what he went through for us, okay? And he shows us that we can go through anything because he did. But what was his reliance? He got his strength from the Father, right? He got his strength from being with God, but being in his Word, and turning things, his back on the world. It's, you know, we look at the temptation of Jesus, and we go to, I think it's in Matthew. Anyway, it shows that he was tempted. He fasted and was tempted 3 times from the devil, okay? And then he made it through. Boom. Folks, he was tempted every day of his life. I understand that. You know, we can look at it, yeah, he overcame that, and he walked, it was a cakewalk. I mean, every day, Satan would get into his face and trying to tempt him to turn and do something different, okay? And so, we're not going to be any different than the Lord. The temptations that he went through, we had the same thing. And the only way we can overcome these things is what Jesus did, and that was being connected to the Father day in and day out. Okay? It's more than, now lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Remember that prayer? Which is awesome to train your children on. But that doesn't get us through. I mean, it's constant with them and talking with them. Give us the strength. And even these scriptures, I'm not going to read more scriptures, but definitions of hell, what's going to take place. They're showing that it's a real thing, okay? And Jesus wouldn't tell us that it was a real thing if it wasn't. He wouldn't warn us about going there if we wasn't able of going there. I understand that part of it, okay? But understand, he doesn't want us to go there, but we have to, we need to embrace him so much. Allow him to strengthen us to turn our backs on these things. We have to recognize what sin truly is and hate it more than anything. Don't hate the sinner, but hate the sin. And when you start doing that, when you start hating the sin and the spirit behind it, you find yourself loving people who are unlovable that you would think, because you understand they're caught in a trap. They're wrapped up in this thing, and they don't even know they're there. They think that you're the weird one. They don't know that what you have they need. And folks, that's where we come in through prayer and through witnessing them and just interceding for them and praying that their eyes would be open to see the need for a Savior. Because they can look around and find in a crowd of 100 people, they can find 90 people probably that believe the same way they do. And there's 10 of us in there saying, no, just walk this way, you know, in the light. And as the time getting ugly as it is, they're going to see the way that you walk greater and greater. They're going to see that your face. They're going to see the peace that you have, even going through tough times. They're going to see that in the hope that you share. And they need that. But we need to make sure we're grounded in His Word like never before. You know, Revelations chapter 6, verse 6. Book of Revelation. Now, if you look at Revelation, I won't go into detail, but the first three books is talking to the church. Us today, the modern day church. Revelation 4 and 5 is talking to the church when we're in heaven. Okay, Revelation 4:1 is when we're taken out. And then 6 on through is what's taking place here on the earth. And so, the church is removed, and this here is part of the statement, what's going on while we're in heaven. It says, I heard something like a voice in the center of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for denarius, and do not damage the oil and the wine. Okay? And what was showing here is that in the days to come, when the church is out of here, it's going to cost everything you have just to get food. It says wheat. And then it talks about the barley. Well, the barley is really what the poor people ate. Barley was always cheaper than wheat. But it will take a day's wages. Take whatever you have just for food. And we are getting closer and closer to that today. Again, this is Word of God coming to us to give us, uplift us, to prepare us, to be ready for it, you know. You know, we saw this week here at due time, the next shortage is going to be the diesel fuel shortage. Okay? And it's going to shut down the trucks. And if we can get through, the price is going to be up. I was talking yesterday to one of my farmer's friends. The price of diesel fuel is up. The price of fertilizer is up. The price of crop insurance, if you can find it, is up. The cost of everything, is that right, brother? Everything is just going up and up and up. Okay? So, prices on everything need to go up. And it will continue to do that. So again, as one of the signs there, again, when the church is gone, how bad it's going to be, but we see it taking place now. How bad it will be before the church takes off, I have no idea. Okay? But please be prepared. They talk about the oil and the wine, and the main reason behind that was they mix the stuff with the bread. They don't ruin the oil and the wine, is what God was telling them. Because if you had any barley at all, you need to have that to have food with it. We need to be prepared. Amen? I beg of you that, you know, we are blessed that we put Kangos out here, and there might be stuff here that, I don't really want that. That's okay. Take it home. Put it on your shelf, you know. And maybe you don't eat it. Maybe I'll be hungry. I'll come. They got any mushrooms, you know? But it doesn't hurt to do that. You know, God said He'll provide for us, and I do believe He's providing all the time. But give us the wisdom to be prepared for this. Because the last thing He wants us out there looking for food, when we can be out there sharing the food that God's given us, that's His Word. So again, just be prepared for what's coming our way. The wheat price. I watch the RFD channel every morning. I don't know why I don't farm, but all the commodities around the world and the wheat's going up. And it's just amazing if you can find it. And we talked about the other day. I talked so much I can't remember where I talked at. I forget an amen over here. But like in Texas, they got such a drought there in Texas. Some parts of it, the hay fields and wheat fields are on fire. The pastures are. Pasture, okay? And some pastures get on fire, amen. But the cattle are actually burning up in the field. They can't get them out in time and stuff. So again, just more stuff. California, they got the same issues, the drought from last year. At least 22% now, what they're saying, the price of the food to go up. But they're having to get permission, the farmers are, to have more water allocated to them for their crops and stuff. I mean, California, really, the drought out there, I mean, the water is controlled by the government because otherwise it would be gone. I mean, I can't tell you how many miles it was, but the Colorado River that flows all the way through and actually dumps into the ocean is like 15 miles short now reaching the ocean. I mean, again, that's not, I might be off a mile or two on that, but things are lining up the Word of God. He is, and our eyes should be wide open. Man, you're coming, Lord. I'll be prepared for it. You know, be able to feed my neighbor if something goes wrong with them, you know. Amen. But again, He gives these warnings up front. And just for us to be prepared. But Galatians 2:20. Huh? You got all the time? Okay. Well, I looked at my watch. I wasn't sure. I've got 27 more scriptures for today, so I got plenty of I lost my water somewhere. There it is. And this is Galatians 2:20 and probably 21. But all this is for us to say, I mean, this is what God expects from us, as Paul has documented here. In verse 20 of Galatians 2, it says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes from the law, then Christ died needlessly. And so, several things that Paul is pointing out to us, is, and the number one is, that when we come to Jesus, that we become crucified as he was. Crucified of the flesh. Not allowing the flesh to control our life. And that's why when I said that he was tempted every day, I mean, we saw in the garden, you know, when he, man, he was really getting heavy down and burdened, and he said, oh Lord, just let this cup pass from me. Remember when he said that? That's the temptation, like, man, I can't go through this, so much pain, But then he thought that he said that, but then he thought, wait a second. Not your will be done, not my will, but your will be done. Because he realized the purpose why he was here. You know, he was down to another day or two to go, and he'd been crucified. But what kept him going, I truly believe, was you and me. What allowed him to go to the cross? What allowed him to have people control his life the way they did? I mean, there were thousands of angels saying, come on, let us down there. We'll teach him a lesson, picking on Jesus this way. Sit down, guys. He's doing what he was called to do. But he had to call out to the Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And so when we are crucified with Christ, we need to have that same attitude. It's a spiritual and a mental attitude. And the only way we get that attitude is by staying in the Word of God. By allowing it to transform us. To get to the point where we don't hate people. We love them. We hate the sin they're wrapped up into, but we love them. Enough to keep our mouth shut, woman. Enough not to lash out at people. To compliment people. And those who speak, think differently than we do, who are all confused, to share the truth with them however we can. Well, I got to tell them one more time, Lord. Okay. Give me peace, Lord. Use my mouth. And open it up and let God speak through you. But it's crucifying the flesh. Now, he's not telling you to hang yourself on the cross. But your own fleshy desires. Who are they to speak to me that way? I know my rights. Amen? Now, I'm not saying throw our rights away. I'm not talking about the Constitution. But you have the right to be like Jesus. You have the right to remain silent. You have the right to open your mouth up and speak love, as the Master did. And that's what he's called us to do. You know, that's the number one thing for us to be successful in this walk, that we have to be crucified with Christ. It's no longer Starkey that lives, but Christ lives in me. Amen? If I can say it this way, I have to kill Starkey every day. It seems funny that Starkey and Christ wakes up the same time every morning. You know that? Now, Starkey needs a cup of coffee. Christ doesn't. He just needs the Word of God. You know what I'm saying? But every day is getting myself focused, reminding myself, okay, God, you're living in me. Direct my footsteps today. Don't let my eyes see nothing that you want me to see. My ears hear nothing, and don't let me speak anything. Help me, Lord. You know, and that's how I do it every day. And tomorrow morning, it's the same way. So when you say, oh man, I'm still the same, you're not still the same. My big mistake when I come to know Jesus, I said that sinner's prayer before I went to the altar. 3 years before that, I sat in a chair at home, John Hagee. And John Hagee said, say this prayer, you know, and man, I've meant it. I said the prayer, I didn't tell Carol. Monday morning come around, I got up. The same Starkey got up. The same Starkey went to work. The same Starkey thought the same thoughts. You know what I thought? It didn't work. I didn't say it the right way. I didn't learn that. At that point, I would have had the authority inside of me if I searched out. But if I told Carol, she'd go, okay, man, let's read the Bible. Let's get the Word of God. Let's renew my mind. And I didn't do that. I was waiting for it to take effect, you know. I was waiting to wake up in the morning. I had no sinful thoughts anymore. I loved everybody. Oh. And then, I had a new spirit. It wasn't 3 years later when the Holy Spirit moved upon me, went down the altar, strength of my life, and stood up and acknowledged Christ in front of everybody. That's what empowered me then. That's the same with us. So when we wake up in the morning, the old and the new wakes up both. We together, the new, defeat the old. And have a desire. I mean, again, I'll go back to the declaration that her and I say every day, you know, about who we are in Christ Jesus. I guess my mind focused that Christ lives in me. And but remember this, and 21 says, I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. And so I just want to share that. What it means there is that I'm not saying that I don't need the grace of God. Because if I have a checklist today, you know, of 10 sins, I don't want to do sin. I didn't do this and this and this and this and this. And all 10 sins I checked off, I didn't do none of them today. That still doesn't get me to heaven, does it? It doesn't. No, no, no. I acknowledge that. I have a heart for the Lord. I'm not perfect. My salvation comes from His grace, from His mercy, from His love. So I can get up tomorrow morning and not be down and out what I did yesterday because it's His grace that covers me. Amen? Think of that. See? And that's the difference. You know, I'm about done. That's the difference between the Lord and the devil. The Lord wants to rescue you from what you did yesterday. Amen? Like, come on, I got you covered. And the devil wants to drag you down. I told you you couldn't do it. I told you you couldn't do it. But what does he know? Amen. And if I say it this way, if Jesus, don't take it out of context, if Jesus had the struggle to do the will of God, and I just say that because in the garden. You understand what I'm saying? He had to remind himself. Well, should we have to be any less than that? We had to remind ourselves. And that's what this word does for us. Reminds us. You know, out of his love, he shows us the hell wasn't created for you. For the falling angels. Now we know why Satan hates us so much. That's why he came after us in the garden. There we had it. He said, oh, I'm going to tempt him. Boom. But God said, hey, no, 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 no. Even before he created the earth, he already had a rescue plan in us. And that was Jesus. And he came to receive us, forgive us of our sins. So let tomorrow hold you down, and let yesterday back you up. Focus on the Lord. Allow him to be the Lord of our lives. Let him strengthen you. He'll provide for you. Yeah, I won't sing the song, but there's a song back in the 60s. I never promised you a rose garden. Okay. Nah, you're sitting there 60. Okay. And Jesus doesn't promise us a rose garden. Understand that. He promises his followers persecution, hate. People don't hate us and stuff. But he promises the love that he gives us like the world cannot give us to embrace that and to love one another. Amen. Amen. Any questions? I shared? Okay. Well, Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the instructions, the encouragement, Father. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you, Father, we don't get to heaven on our own merits. It's through the blood of Jesus. And we thank you so much for your grace. And Lord, we just pour our hearts out to you this morning. Again, our desire to be more like you. At the end of this new week, we just call upon that Holy Spirit and that Word to strengthen us. May it continue to come back into our mind what we heard today. That we know the empowerment He's given us through the cross. That tomorrow morning we wake up and we wake up with Jesus. That we'll let Jesus have the upper hand. The Holy Spirit to guide us. And we put this old man in his flesh. Put it under control. That we may bring you glory and serve you, Father, of all that we have. And God, we just lift up our nation today. We lift our president, our elected officials. God, we pray for health and wisdom for them. But God, we pray that their eyes would be open to see the truth. Our heart desire, God, that the evil in this world, those who are bringing evil upon us, God, they be neutralized. Continue to pray, Father God, for justice to be served and then that your mercy be applied. We pray for strength for all the men and women who are raising up the calling you've given them, Father God, to stand up to help lead this nation. May our eyes and our ears and our voices be there to support them. And when we can, Father, our pocketbooks, that we can put leadership back in authority, that will bring honor to you, strength to our nation, and guidance and wisdom to us and our children. That the devil and his lies and his schemes continue to be exposed. And may those who are authorizing that be exposed. May they be removed from the ability to influence the lives of the young folks. And we pray for the young people today, our children and grandchildren, Father. We just speak a hedge of protection around them, declare that they are our inheritance. And we have a good inheritance. And God, we ask that you would send people across their paths that would minister to them the Word of God, that they would receive it. Oh, they have a hard time receiving it from us. But others, and maybe their age group, God, can do it. And then we just ask that you would send those across our path, Father, that others are praying for it. We may witness to them and share your love and your promises with them, Lord. We thank you, God, for all you've given us. And may you be glorified in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God is good. Amen.